Okay, well, in this session, there may be some confusion. We do have Gareth and Ima back again, but they're in this next session. Please don't run out for the exit doors because we'll feel really insecure. But this is the TED Talk session, and we've got four people from very different churches, very different roles and backgrounds, and like the rest of us in lockdown, their experiences have all been very different, just like yours and mine. But I'm sure there'll be somebody that you will be able to identify with. And I think we're going to be really encouraged by their messages this afternoon. Before we do that, you've all had a goodie on the way in. It's brilliant. Isn't it great that not only do we and can we encourage children in worship, not only can we tell them the truth that they are worshippers, but they can be our worship leaders. And so often that is the case. And so what Emma's been doing with some of her guys over the last couple of years, which you may know about, is working with some of their guys there in allowing them to create their own worship. And it's now an album. And it's been used by other children in other churches and blessing them and encouraging them and passing on this message. And so you've all got a booklet about it that goes with it. And Emma is coming up to tell us and show us more.
Okay, whoa, why is it so loud whenever I speak? Am I really that loud on the microphone? So as Em said, you all got given one of these. The reason why I created this is because for me and us as a church, the album was more than just an album. It was more than just a bunch of songs. There was a whole context that went behind it of what God was doing. And it's really important to remember that when you listen to these songs, that every song minus one, minus two, came directly from the children. So they were either like small refrains, which is like a repetitive chorus, verse, bridge. I don't know if that's the right musical term. I've got two of the musicians in the room. So, or it was like a short chorus or just a few words or a prayer thought that we turned into a song. And that's why it makes it special, because Psalm 8 talks about the power of our children's voices, silencing the enemy. And I believe that when this album is listened to, in whatever context it's listened to, whether it's a Christian home, a non-Christian home, that it would do exactly that. And my nephews are not Christian and my family are not Christian, but I FaceTimed my nephews the other day and they were listening to this album when I FaceTimed them. So what I said earlier about the power of worship and embedding that in our children, it works in non-Christian homes as well. So if you have family who are not Christian, get them to listen to this, because like the kids have done an amazing job. And I've just been so blessed to be able to work with amazing musicians, and Joe and Joe are at the back from my church. Just give them a big round of applause, because without Joe and Joe, this wouldn't happen. And these songs are each formed from a time of prayer or a session that God was speaking within our children. And this, I won't tell you too much about it because it's all like described on here. And the another beautiful thing about it is that the amount of people that were involved in making this happen for me was just so special, because it demonstrates that whole aspect of family. And how when we create something for God's purpose, we don't do it alone. And when we join with people, what that can bring and what that can do. So this album is available on all major music platforms. So Spotify, iTunes, Google, Amazon. I don't know what people use nowadays. YouTube. And if you notice on the back, it's got a QR code. And that QR code will take you to a website which has some resources that you can use in your churches. Now, one of those resources are lesson plans. Basically, every song has a lesson plan that goes along with it. We've done this from like October time to the end of December with our children, and they loved it. So we looked at each song. So for example, Prayer of Jabez. We looked at the scripture of the Prayer of Jabez. We did some activities around it, some crafts, and then we worshipped to the song. So when they came to worship to the song, they knew the context behind the lyrics. Because I think sometimes it's so easy for us to play a song and worship, but the kids not know the context behind what they're actually singing. Whereas the beauty of the lesson plans is they learn about the scripture, they learn about the lyrics, they learn about the song, and then they worship to the song. So they can take their own circumstances, their own lives, their own families, and bring that into a place of worship with God. And they're free. There's, as I say, there's one for each session, and we're updating them and modifying them as we go, as different churches use them and give me feedback. We're trying to do our best to make them accessible. There's also lyric videos, and we are in the process this year of creating action videos. And as you can see, some of you may have seen on our social medias that on Monday, our first action video was released. Woo! Yes, Sam. And I'm absolutely buzzing about this because the girls who done this action video are really close friends of mine. And it was just so much fun. I think we were in the church for 4 hours filming. And I think probably about 1 hour of that was actually filming this. They were just dancing to High School Musical and all of that. So the High School Musical came into the actions. Why not? Kids don't know what High School Musical is nowadays, which is quite sad. So I thought, as we just had lunch and we're probably all feeling a bit of the lunch, that we could have a go at doing the actions. We're all kids workers, right? Why not? So if you are able to, I would love you to stand and join me in the actions. I'm going to invite Eliana up. So Eliana's going to be doing a TED talk in a minute, so let's give her a round of applause. And Eliana is on this video. She's the one who can dance, I'm the one who can't dance, but I'm up here to demonstrate you don't have to dance to worship. So we're just going to just play this song, worship together, and hopefully it give you a little bit of a taste of what the album is about. So yeah, over to you, Abs, when you're ready.
Hey, let's go!
This is a spontaneous part, so the kids can do their moves, you can get them in a circle and go, go on! Woo! High School Musical dance, those High School Musical fans. Yes, Naomi, you know. And so that's just a little insight of what is to come throughout the rest of the year. And we would love you to use that resource, give feedback on that resource. And what better thing for your children to be walking around declaring those words over themselves and their families. So that is Freedom, the album.
Thanks, Emma. Follow that TED Talk, guys. We need actions, moves. We need the whole performance now. All right. So we have 4 TED Talks for you this afternoon. And, you know, the idea of a TED Talk is rather than one main talk, it's lots of short, sharp snippets that you can just grab hold of and take away with you. And that's what we're going to have this afternoon. To spice that up a little, we have our Wheel of Fortune or Unfortunate. We've given each of the guys 7 minutes to deliver their TED Talk. First of all, I am going to spin the wheel to randomly select who goes first. They don't know any of this. And then they've got 7 minutes for their talk. If they go over that, they've all agreed that they will all have a spin on the wheel. They're all really up for it, which I think is really brave, especially seeing as I know what happens depending on what number they get. What does happen is that behind the wheel, there are various items that they can eat. Some are fortunate, some are very unfortunate. And depending on who you are, you either might love it or you might hate it. There's a clue for one of them. If you go over your 7 minutes, not only will you spin the wheel, but I'll spin the wheel for you for a second time. So you don't want to go over your 7 minutes. So let's see who's first up. I've given you all a number. It's all in the little book. So first up, please give them a massive round of applause when I've said their name. I'm going to let you introduce yourselves. But obviously, Martin, if you talk too long about yourself, then I'm going to start using that in your 7 minutes. All right. So first up, give them a massive round of applause when I've told you who it is. We have number one. And number one is... Shireen! It gets it over and done with, Shireen. Over and done with.
All right. Hi, everyone. As Emma just said, my name is Shireen, and I'm the kids coordinator for Ealing Christian Centre based in West London. I've recently also joined the Limitless Kids team, and yeah. Everyone's been really nice to me, and I'm very happy to be here. I do need my notes because it keeps me on track. Right, so I started volunteering. Thank you very much. I started volunteering for children's ministries 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. And I got into working with children because my mum actually was a Sunday school teacher when I was growing up for many years. And I saw just how much joy she gained from working with children. And it was a real inspiration to me. So when I got asked to join children's ministry nearly 20 years ago, it was an easy decision. And I'm glad I did. I've enjoyed it very much. So in 2019... our kids coordinator left and a position became available. So I thought long and hard and I prayed long and hard and I applied for the role. And I just basically prayed, a really simple prayer. And I just said, God, if you want me for this role, if I'm the right person, because it's not just about me, if I'm the right person, then make the path clear. And if not, then I accept whatever you've got for me. So to cut a long story short, I did get the job, and I use the word job very, very loosely because I think whether you're a volunteer, whether you're part-time, full-time, this isn't just a job. I think everyone would agree with that. This is far more than a job. It's so much more. So to cut a long story short, my first day was January 2020, and 10 weeks later, the whole world locked down, so that was a shock. So as you can imagine, I had big plans. I had so many things that I was going to do in my first few months with the team. We'd already advertised things like kids clubs. So we locked down, and literally overnight, everything I had planned was now up in the air. And I was like, oh God, really? Seriously, help me. Literally, I was just in a place where I didn't really know what to do. So after a lot of discussions, it became apparent that I was going to have to make videos. Lots of videos online to stay connected with the kids. So that was one of the main things. And it was something I'd never done before. So I'd never used things like Facebook Live or Zoom. So it was really, really new to me. And it was a strange time for us all, but I learned a lot of things over that time and things that I still implement in the ministry today. So I realised fairly early on, and one of the things that was really apparent fairly early on was that the kids, even though we would spend a lot of time working on the content of the videos, children really were coming for the connection. So the content was important, and I did prepare quite a lot for it, but they were coming for the connection. And I realised that keeping things simple but making it as interactive as possible was really the best direction to go in. So when we got back to doing church in person, that was something that I had to keep in mind, that we really need to keep the connection going. So what we started to do is, rather than our traditional model of a teacher teaching from the front of the class, we started to sort of move around the class a lot more, talk to children one-to-one, ask them about their week, what they've done in the weekend, their hobbies, birthdays, and we'd sing happy birthday to them, things like that. So that just really helped us to keep that connection going, keep a personal touch with the kids. The next thing was using what you have and what you know. And now the biggest thing that everyone will tell you is to be yourself. I don't often speak in public, and so I get very nervous when I do. but everyone will always say, oh, just be yourself, you'll be fine. And it is so true, but it takes a long time to believe that. And to be honest with you, I'm still on that journey. But being yourself is so important. We know God created us unique. And whatever role you're in, as kids, workers, volunteers, part-time, full-time, anything, you're there because God put you in the role. He didn't choose anyone else. He chose you for a reason, because you are unique. And no one else can ever be you. We each come with a set of unique skills and personal experiences that you may think are not that special, but they're really special to God. And you may look at yourself and think, but God, I'm not like this person or that person. And you're right, you're not like anyone else. And that's the whole point. That's why he chose you. I'm going to give you an example. So for years, I really dreaded praying out loud. The thought of praying out loud used to make my palms sweat. The reason for this is because I felt like I didn't pray like all the adults prayed. I felt like I prayed a little bit like a child, because I pray quite simple prayers. So one day I was talking to the children about praying, and I said to them, you know what, it really doesn't matter whether you pray long prayers, short prayers, whether you use fancy words or you don't. The important thing is that you're talking to God. And in that moment, I felt God say to me, so why don't you believe this for yourself? So I was like, okay, thank you, God. God confirmed that my childlike prayers is fine with him. And that's a lesson I'll never forget. Being yourself doesn't mean that you'll always get everything right, but please know this in your heart, that God has qualified you for your role. And that is the most important qualification you could ever have. I'm just going to ask if you bring up the second picture, thank you. It's a bit, I don't know if it's, oh, it's good, okay. Right, so thinking outside the box was my next point. As lockdown went on, we introduced lots of things on Zoom as well as Facebook Live. I won't go into that in too much detail. One of the things that we really learned was that we could use household items that the kids could connect with to do object talks. So things like chocolate bars or handbags. I think on that picture just at the top there, I used an old kitchen cupboard door that was in my dad's garage as a games board. So just ordinary stuff that you can use around your house. And you can bring those things into church. And it's just things that everyone can connect with. Now, the greatest thing for me was the bottom middle picture, which is my rabbit. That slide is just there because I love talking about rabbits. But that I got a chance to bring my rabbit on screen for Easter Sunday during lockdown. And the best thing is that when the kids see me now in church, they're like, oh, I remember Easter and your rabbit. And then they'll say things like, oh, I remember the chocolate bar and what you were teaching us about, you know, sharing and different things. So it's really cool. Like, if you can use stuff every day, kids can relate to it, which is really good. Another thing that I learned over lockdown, which is the next picture, is video editing, which was so daunting. Unless I was forced to do this, I would never have bothered learning how to do this. I found a really simple, cost-effective program called HD Movie Maker Pro. It's really simple to use, and it is frustrating to begin with, but it means that you can add this to your ministry. So if you're doing, so now instead of doing everything live, if we've got some children who prefer to be on video, it means that for Christmas or Mother's Day, so the video just here with the young girl with the violin, that was our Mother's Day presentation. It means that we can add that to our ministry. And so we have that as an option for church events when the kids take part, which is fantastic. Lastly, don't forget the adults or the babies. So what we did over lockdown, we did a lot of content geared towards 5 to 11 year olds, but I completely forgot about the babies and the toddlers, which is my fault. Didn't really forget about the adults. What I did with the adults was I realised that our team is fantastic. I really have a fantastic team, and they're really diverse. They range from age 16 to 72. They're from a variety of different backgrounds, and they really do this because they love kids. But during lockdown, they were all very camera shy. So I ended up doing a lot of the stuff myself, and I roped my husband in as well because he's a kids volunteer. So we ended up doing a lot of stuff on video ourselves. But I wanted to make sure that the adults, our volunteers, our parents felt really valued still. So I spent many hours contacting them on WhatsApp and calling them, making sure that we knew what was going on in their life and their family, which they really appreciated. The one thing that I would say is the relationship that I've been able to develop since lockdown with the parents is invaluable. Because of the time that was invested and because I had the time to do it, my relationship with the parents is so much better, and even with the teachers as well. So I think it's, if you have got the time, it's a valuable investment. The babies, which is the last slide, we ended up doing a puppet show. It was my husband's idea, and we bought two puppets, and we called them Blue and Ollie, and their uncle and nephew. It was something we'd never done. I think he'd done it before, but I'd never done it. So I was really like, oh, okay. What we learned was that it can get really tricky to try and film a puppet show without getting your arm or the top of your head in the shot. So we had so many outtakes. We had my husband lying on the floor with his arm up in the air at one point, trying to get himself out of the shot. And we were all like, oh, our arms are aching. It's really hard. But it's so worth it. So, yeah, I would definitely encourage you to try new things if you can. The kids loved it, which is brilliant. So it served the purpose as well. And that's something that we do use still in church. Finally, this is the final thought I'm going to leave you with, which is, much like adults, kids don't relate well to people who are being closed up or putting on a different face for them. My final thing to you would be to be real. Just be real with your kids, be real with your parents, your team. It's so important that people see your heart for their children and your vision for kids' work and that they can get behind you. So thank you for your time, and please feel free to ask me anything throughout the day.
Just hang on there, Shireen, because you do. No. You did. But you know what? We're going to go with one spin of the wheel, because I'm not going to make you do a second forfeit, because I think God knows how much that took for you to do and how brave you've been. And you know what? I'm not surprised you went over, because you have so much to say and so much to share that next time you'll be doing a full talk anyway. But you do get one spin. And we're all really praying that you get you something really nice. Whichever you want. Give it one big spin. Come on, Shireen. Yes! I kid you not, you get a bar of chocolate. I'm so glad. Okay, so we've got to crack on. Who's next? Number six, Martin Price. I'm so not being kind to you.
Yeah, no, you're not. Can I tell you when I'm starting? Okay, heck. Let me just get this thing working again. I haven't started yet. Still not started yet. She has started already, hasn't it? Okay, so before I start talking about what I'm talking about, we had a discussion about these sessions in our Zoom, and it was young people and their experiences of working with children, and somebody said, we need somebody old to talk about what it is to be old. I turned 50 last year, so I'm old, apparently, so that's it. So a little bit about me. My name's Martin. I am a full-time foster carer. We currently have four children. If you haven't been in the sessions, we've got two that are 11, one that's 14, and one that's 16. I am a senior leader at Living Waters Church in Chorley, where I run the children's work with Emma, and I am a director of a charity that goes into local primary schools. Lockdown has changed what happens. has changed a little bit what happens, but we will see approximately 2,000 to 2,500 children every half term. Every school we go into, we preach the gospel. Every school we go into, we pray. Every school we go into, we talk about who Jesus is. 2,500. We speak to more people than all of the churches combined in Chorley do for their entire congregation. And we talk to children. We talk about influencing children and schools. Right, shush. Go. Okay, I am passionate about children's work. I love doing children's work. I love leading children's work. The thing is, I have got a little bit old. And I have got to that stage where my heart will jump off a stage. I do that fully aware of the fact that when I land, pretty much every part of my body will go, we've warned you about this before and told you not to do it. My body has got to that stage where it's starting to say to me, you know all those stupid things I told you not to do when you were younger? This is why I told you not to do them. So I love doing what I do. I am stupid enough that I continue to do those things that I don't want to. But it's kind of, it's just what I want to do. And I just love doing it. But I love seeing younger people wanting to get involved in doing children's work. I love seeing younger people. And when I say younger people, pretty much everybody's younger than I am now, apparently. But I want to go right down. And we've been talking this week, because I go, do I go as low as teenagers working? And then we were talking about the fact that, no, we go as young as our children, leading our children to know Christ. Yeah. The problem we have is that as we get older, we get really stuck in who we are. We've always done it this way. We always have to do it this way. Our parents did it this way. My parents never went to church. So I'm quite fortunate that I come from it from a fresh perspective. But when I start working in churches, they go, no, we've always done it that way. We can't change. You see, what I want to see happening is that you guys, and I'm going to go with some of you are quite young in here, let's start encouraging younger people than you to be doing children's work. Okay? I think Gareth said it earlier, that the best people to reach a 12-year-old are your 12-year-old. I can tell you, I've just bought a new iPad. I picked it up on time. I haven't got a clue how it works. Kind of do videos and stuff. I can do all my video editing and stuff, but I haven't got a clue how to turn on an iPad. You see, what you've got to learn and what you've got to realize is when you are talking about working with children and working with your teams, are you going to be somebody that is an enabler or a controller? Because if you are going to be somebody that's a controller, then you are always going to hold an enabler back. If you're going to be somebody that is comfortable, and we were talking about this in the car, when I picked Ian up from the airport, drove him down here, we were talking about a book, and I'll have to grab, have I written it down? And this is, to ask Ian, he'll tell you what the book's called, I haven't got enough time. Because I know it's going, but it was about filling a room full of objects and not having any plan for your session. Allowing children to come in and pick something up and say, well, what story are you going to use that for in the Bible? How are you going to tell the stories using what you've got? I love, what have you got in your hand? What is it you've got and how do you use that to tell stories? He said, but how comfortable do you feel with that? When Ian said that, it's like, I love, that's a brilliant idea. I can't do that. Because you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. But you know Jesus does. So, let me just say this to you as well. Just because I'm 50. I don't know if there's anybody older. I'm not going to ask. Apart from Ian's older than me. You have all those years of experience. They don't go just because you're old. They're not obsolete just because you've got younger people coming in. Encourage your team to feed off of you. And Ian was saying, for you, as you get older, feed off older people. Learn stuff from other people. Just because I got to 50, one of my favorite people in my church is my old senior pastor. I love him because I'm allowed to take the mickey out of him, something rotten, and I always do. But that guy is the wisest guy I've ever met. The wisest church leader. He is the guy that took me back to getting repentance from my father. Sorry. So, when you get to a point where you don't know, go seek that wisdom from somebody older and impart your wisdom to younger people. Because when we do that, our children's work is going to explode. Our children's work is going to be something that is not just going to be nice. It's going to change the world. So guys, whatever age you're at, enjoy the age that you're at. Listen to your bodies. Listen. If you have children, my son told me not to do something. I did it. I have just spent hundreds of pounds with the physio putting it right. So garnish wisdom from younger people. When they say, my son loves bringing that up. He said, but you know what? If you can do it, do it. If you can't do it, enable somebody else to do it. Enable younger people to be developing the work that they're doing and don't hold them back. Be wise if they're going to start doing stuff that takes them away from biblical principles or biblical truths, rein it back in. But if they're doing something that brings Christ to the life of a child, don't tell them that it's the wrong thing to do. Because that way, things. I'm 50. I think I am really young. I just genuinely believe I'm in my 20s. Yeah? I haven't got a clue what kids are going through. I am. It may be the years of playing rugby and banging my head that makes me think, but it's like I have no idea where 12-year-olds are at. My 12-year-olds know where they're at. My 6-year-olds know where they're at. Heck, she's watching. But if we enable our children to start to do that, as older people saying, you know, go and talk to your kids. Go and do it. Go and bring the gospel to them. See, guys, you have a wealth of information. You have a wealth of knowledge. Let's start imparting that to our younger people. That's the thing that we found over lockdown. Let's just open those floodgates and allow our children to learn from us. Be those role models that Ian was talking about. Be the person that our kids go, that's the guy I want to be like, but I don't want to do it like him. Yeah? That's it. That's what I mean. But boy, does he not have a clue about culture. Does he not? He's like, so I'm going to be that guy, but I'm going to do it my way. Let's see if we can't get a generation of children that are going to bring the gospel to a generation of children that we can't reach. Am I allowed to carry on going? I have no idea. I have genuinely no idea. I have a funny feeling my numbers are going to be dodgy anyway. So guys, seriously, just enjoy the stuff that you do, but let's just enable our children to be real enablers. Amen? Can I see the stopwatch?
Martin, you did that in 7 minutes, 43 seconds. That's not bad for you. I'm impressed.
Well, when did you start it?
I didn't start it until you said go. Spin your wheel. Spin your wheel once for a start.
Stop it. It took a lot for me to stand up.
Get on with it. Getting you off is the problem. Number 5. Oh, wait. What was it on relay? You're going to need that.
I can see all the stuff. Oh, I don't mind pickled onions.
Giant pickled onion. Get on with it. There's more people.
She's taking my picture.
No, we'll start with the one. Now, we did say if you went over time, I then span it the second time. And you did make me cry. But I'm still going to spin it.
Hang on. Does this mean I could win a barrel
chocolate? We have to wait and see. 6 was the same as last time. You get some chocolate.
Yay! Choose my
you bar. Choose your chocolate. Meanwhile, I will spin for our next speaker. Oh, have we had number 5 yet? Sorry. We're going to go with our speaker. Number 5, no, we haven't. Please can we welcome Rebecca.
I'm gonna jump around. No, I'm gonna jump around. Is it okay if I just kind of do an intro and I'll press go? Yeah. Sure. So croesio, greetings from Wales, welcome. That means it's morning now, so it's Prenhanda. I'm Rebecca. My kind of talk is about how my transition from helping, you know, I suppose it's a bit of a touchy word, to leading. So, and that was kind of, I suppose, most of it as such was during lockdown, as in my co-lead kind of leading transition. So about me, so I would say, and now that I'm here, is like prayer over my life. I had a near-death experience when I was 4, and I had a drowning accident, and my mum was just prayed. That's what she did. She prayed, not my baby. And I'm here. So that's an act of prayer. And a right, you know, people being in the right place, right time. So I'm here, and I've got a bunch of prayer, you know, people who pray for me regularly, and they're really lovely, lovely role models. Yeah, love them to bits. So I'm born and bred in Swansea, went to Birmingham for uni, Birmingham City Woo! Uni, big up Birmingham. came back to Swansea then, 2018, and then pandemic kind of happened, so still in Swansea, settled down a little bit now though, I'm kind of accepting Swansea as my home again. So I think we're going to press go now, we're going to go for it. So I just wanted to start by saying it's a pleasure and joy to serve my kids' team at home, at my home church. I'm so thankful for those along my journey, my youth leaders that have gone before and my current ones that walk alongside me as well at the moment, you know. So I graduated uni, 2018 summertime, then went into a kind of a season where I was like, I want to be more active in my church. How do I do that? Prayed and kind of wanted to get more involved in more ministries. I previously was involved in the creche team. My mum's on the creche team, and she works with children full-time. Not for the church, but like I suppose like a kind of in the community, she works with children. So I was like, you know, I have worked with creche in the past, but I'm going to move on to children's work. So we had a big kind of like summer club in 2019, and I decided to help out with that. So it was a lot of fun, great introduction to the team, and I joined the Rota pretty much soon after, you know. It's hard not to once you've had so much fun. So basically, I started off helping registration, and then I got to know the team, got to know the parents, got to know the children. It's a great way to start, like, so my talk is about, I suppose, how you as leaders really can help someone transition through that process. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I know some of you may have people who are a little bit, you know, shyer, or people that, you know, may say, I only want to help out, but I want to be with drinks, I want a registration. You know, I wouldn't want to teach, you know, especially not, you know, with my own children. You know, so how can you support that as a leader? So basically, just before, part of my story, back to my story, again, talking a lot about myself today. So March 2020, I had, it was pre-lockdown, a few weeks probably before Boris announced lockdown, I had my first co-lead. So I'm fortunate to have Naomi as my, I suppose, on my team, and she's my team leader. I suppose we're team leaders now. we did like a kind of chat, and then we kind of transitioned into then online church then, which a lot of you I know have been, we digitalized, we learned new skills with making new, you know, videos and, you know, a lot what, you know, it's already been discussed already, which are great talks, by the way, love that. So basically, one of my first things I would like to say is, you know, try and make it a gradual process if you can. Then first bits of like helping out with registration and then just come alongside. Team support is so important, encouragement. But basically, the first point I wanted to make today, so I got 3 points, they're all kind of start with being. So nice to remember, I suppose. So the first one is being what my lesson from lockdown was being a connected remote leader / team. So it's the importance of being connected with teams and with your team and your families and your children. Being available and present, you know, listening to them and connecting with them, being intentional about conversations, and also, you know, having fun games, you know, and having times where they can just share, you know, how they're feeling. Like I said, I've been involved with, you know, the mental health awareness team that's just started in our church, and a lot of these children, you know, what their world looks like now looks a lot different from what they started with, and how they're feeling and their emotions have been affected by, you know, lockdown, isolation, loss of contact with friends and family. You know, it does, I mean, it's hurt us, never mind, you know, the children as well have been involved. So being a connected, you know, team leader, you know, helper, you know, wherever you're, whatever stage you are at this moment, you know, being connected with your team and being connected with families and friends and, you know, the children is so important. It's just vital, you know, you are, you know, helping, you know, your role is just to help these children on their journeys, you know, so having that contact and then conversation is so important to them. During lockdown, of course, we had pre-recorded sessions sometimes. So I worked in retail at the time. I don't work in retail anymore, but I worked in retail at the time. So pre-recorded sessions were really helpful for me, so I could pre-record. And, you know, I worked, like, I kind of rearranged my retail to kind of work one Sunday a month with them. So kind of all the other Sundays I was available, but if I was there, not there, then I could pre-record kind of thing. So it was really handy with that. And, of course, lockdown was bad because it was restricted time on Zoom. I don't know about you. If anybody else had Zoom fatigue? Never mind the children. Like, that is a lot for them to handle. And also, it's like, you're not in person. And a lot of our children really had that want of being in person, but we couldn't have, you know, facilitate that because of, you know, lockdown rules, you know. And so basically the next one is being available. So the next point is being available to take on a challenge. So part of my process has been to take on a challenge. So I went out of my comfort zone, whether that be through actual teaching and Zoom as well, was not my comfort zone. For a lot of people, I don't think it was. You know, public speaking, I'm not usually, familiar with public speaking, but, you know, I do, you know, pride myself on trying to take a challenge. I think, you know, on your teams as well, it's good to take challenges. It's good to change things up, keep things fresh. And to just, I will explain later, but like kind of keep, kind of just changing things, keeping things fresh, accepting new ideas as well. So I think from home, like, I think it was quite good for me to do teaching from home originally, because I was quite comfortable at home, as in, like, I felt a bit more comfortable and to speak at home. So I was kind of speaking to a screen rather than children, which isn't great, but, like, especially with the pre-records, I could practice how many times I wanted to, and then kind of choose which one was the best take. Sometimes I was co-leading. Sometimes, like, my mum works at the crash, so we did have sessions where I was doing a story with my mum, so I had someone to kind of bounce off as well. So, yeah, it was great, you know, to kind of co-lead with, you know, tell a story as well, co-teach. Like I said, it's a gradual process. You know, just encourage your team workers, you know, your team, to kind of help them along at this point. And encouragement is so important. Like, that one word could really just change someone's week, you know. And that's even with the children as well. Just encouragement is key, you know, with young leaders as well. So my final point today is being open to change. I think for a lot of us, change can sometimes be a bit scary, but change can be good too. And, you know, with lockdown, one of the things that we've learned is just to try new things, different, like, formats, different learning styles, different games, different, I suppose like maybe like allowing the children maybe 1 week to choose which worship song they'd like to do. Kind of just accepting, you know, what would they like to do? You know, what's their opinion on this? And kind of being open to feedback, open to prayer, of course, and open to encouragement as well from others and from the team. So, you know, some things may work, some things may not, but that's just a learning process, and that's something we learn along the way. I suppose lockdown was good for, you know, new ideas and formats and trying that out. But the bad is probably, like, a lot of, it was just so much change at once, unexpected change. So that caused, you know, a lot of people a lot of stress and anxiety of getting it back into, you know, I suppose, post-lockdown as well. I'll just share a few, like, I think my biggest misconception before joining the team. So I kind of always thought, oh, I'm not bubbly enough to be a part of the team. Like, I'm not singy. I do like a good sing. I'm Welsh. I like a good sing. But, like, I'm just, like, I can't really boogie too much. you know, I like to be hands-on with the kids, but, you know, I can't make craft little snowflakes or origami, you know, I'm not that way, you know. But, you know, what I've learned being on the team and being part of the team and being immersed in the team is just that everyone has different skills and gifts and we all teach each other and we're all continually learning, and that's the same with me as well. I'm continually learning. And, just being open to learning whatever the age you are. You know, whether you're 16, whether you're, you know, 72, as someone said, that someone's on their team 72. So, every team member is a real blessing, you know. And, while I was kind of thinking things through last night, a verse came to me. It's Philippians 4:13. It's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may not be the best boogie, but I can try. You know, I can give it a go, yes. I can give it a good go, you know. I can do all things, you know. And I think sometimes us trying really impacts the kids as well. You know, they can see they're trying. So I'm going to give it a go. Why not? You know, what's the harm in me trying? So summary again is, I suppose, what I learned during lockdown and what I suppose you can, share with your other, you know, teams as well going back is, you know, being a connected team is so important, and staying in contact with children, families and the team itself. So important after lockdown, during lockdown, you know, whenever is so essential. And number two is like being available to take on a challenge. It can be hard, it can be difficult, you know, it can be unexpected, but it's so worth it in the long term. And it's always a gradual process, but it's something we're all working through together, you know, and always be open to saying, you know, I can't do this, can you help me? You know, we're not doing this alone, we're doing this together. And, you know, it's good to have that community as well, you know, even within, you know, the church community today, as we're all attending today. And the third was being open to change. So welcome feedback, ideas, formats, you know, even from the children, you know, they're not even from the children are great at coming up with ideas. They're great at brainstorming. So welcome them ideas because they are the future. They really are. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens with that. It's awesome. So thank you for listening to me today.
Naomi, how many minutes did you tell us she had? 10. She did it in 10. So, Becca, you've survived and you get one spin of the wheel. And we're all hoping you get something. Because she did what she was asked to do. Use. Nobody asked you to speak for half an hour. Pickled onion? It could be worse. It really could be worse. What did you do with the Martin? There you go. Martin, I'll pass you a spoon there. And because we're running out of time, I am going to ask us if we can welcome our fourth speaker, Eliana. Where are you? Woo!
Do I need a mic? Or am I loud enough?
Mic.
Oh, gosh. All right. So I'm going to be speaking about, well, first of all, my name is Eliana. I'm Emma's intern. Yeah. Woo! Not a lot of people are enthusiastic about that. I don't like Emma either. I'm kidding. Love you, Emma. So I've been helping with kids since I was 13, which is very young for some people. But I think it's very, like as Martin was saying, like using our young people. The two things I felt God was telling me to tell you guys today, and if you really need to take something away, it's invest your time in your kids. And invest your time in your young leaders. Because first of all, kids, we might say, they're the future disciples like to come. But our kids are disciples right now. Like, how many times I go to church and I'm like, I didn't invite any kids. But there are so many of them that you invited yourself. And that is being disciples. They go into their schools. They go to the playground. And they speak about Jesus to their friends. That is being disciples. Those are disciples. And so investing your time into that, investing your time into kids and like giving them like the confidence for them to speak that, that's what we should invest our time in. And investing our time into your young leaders. If someone didn't invest their time in me, I wouldn't be up here speaking today. And our young people are, like, they're in need of being needed in church, in my opinion. Because it's like, if we just gave all the work to the older folks, no offense, to the older folks, they would probably, like, all our young kids, most people, like, most of us young people would just not feel like it's worth it to come to church. Like, especially in the teen years where you feel like you need to be, like, you need to belong somewhere. If you have a team, if you have a community in church, you'll feel like you have to go, like, you want to go in because you have that community you can rely on. Because you have that place where you can step in and say, I am needed in church and I am contributing to the kingdom of God. One Bible verse I feel like really stands out for that. It's as iron sharpens iron, so does another sharpen another, from Proverbs. Sorry for the accent. Our kids are iron to one another. Our young people are iron to one another. And if our kids can sharpen one another and our young people can sharpen one another, imagine what they can, they can do among each other. We have this one kid, and he has such boldness. Like, when he comes into Sunday, you put a song on. You could say, it's a chill song. You can sit down. You don't have to dance. But he will be the first person that gets up, and he'll be screaming at the top of his lungs the words because he believes them so much. If that kid sharpens another, and that other kid sharpens another, and that goes around, that's a domino going around, and everyone in the room is going to be sharpened. Yeah. I believe that if kids are able to sharpen each other in church and learn how to sharpen one another in community, when they go out into the world, there'll be such sharp knives that they'll cut through every boundary, everything that goes on around them. That would tear down every wall, but that will allow them to ask God for the keys to the doors into other rooms, into other places in their life that need Jesus. I've been to school. I remember sometimes, like in RE, there was a humanist that came in and he was like, do we have any Christians in the room? And I was the only kid lifting up my hand. But if I was sharp enough to lift my hand up and make aware the people around me that I was Christian, and other kids in my room asked me, why are you Christian? Why is it that makes you Christian? I was able to communicate to all other of my schoolmates, what is it that made me a Christian? And that influenced them, that almost gave them wonder, what is this? Our kids are disciples into the world. And they're not disciples of tomorrow. They're disciples of today. Like, as Sam was speaking yesterday, that there were some of their older kids that they're like, I'm going to do that job. I'm going to go and stand up and do this. They are disciples right now. They are leaders right now in that room. They are sharpened kids that are wanting to sharpen other kids around them. So don't hold them back. Bring them forward. When the 5,000 feeding, when Jesus said, does anyone have anything? Like, one kid came up and said, I have 5 loaves of bread and a fish. I'm pretty sure that an adult would have just kept that and said, we cannot do that. It's just, but a kid sees wonder in that. He said, I've got something, you know? It's like, it's the enthusiasm they have. That's something that I think as adults, sometimes we lose the boldness and the enthusiasm, the wonder, you know that God can do something. And so if you give those, like if you allow those kids to give the 5 loaves of bread, to give the 2 fishes, they're going to want to do something with that. Give them something so that they can empower themselves to empower other kids. They are able. I remember one quote, Joe. Hello, Joe. During lockdown, he talked to us youth about availability. And this one quote stuck with me, and it always stick with me. It says, if you gave God your availability, God will give you the ability. And that's for all our kids. All our kids have the availability, and they have the ability, but they have to bring it forward. And so push your young people, push your kids to bring the availability. Because God will give them the availability. They have the availability. They have the ability. They can do all things. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ. Strengthens you. And I believe that our kids have power. Jesus used kids. Why can we? That's basically it. Thank you.
Five minutes, 59 seconds. I am not even going to make you spin the wheel. I am going to empty all the horrible bits out of this bag, and I am just going to give you this stash of chocolate. The last shall be first, she's saying. Do you know what? I'm just sat there, I'm just thinking, I know we've run over time, but don't worry, we'll bear that in mind. But I'm just thinking, you know, we aren't limited by numbers. We're not limited by numbers of age. We're not limited by numbers of the time that we have. We're not limited by the number on a scorecard. We're not limited by what the number and what the result is. We're not limited by anything. And I think we've had four great speakers this afternoon that are hopefully, they've encouraged me, will encourage you that none of you are limited. And so hold on to those pearls of wisdom.